Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour, and welcome to your Monday. Thanks for being with us to help get it started. It is October 2nd, and we've got a great show, great hour coming up. We've got Dr. Linda Mental going to be with us in just a minute, and Dr. Richard Land's going to also come on the program at about 7:40, and where he's going to talk about the some of the protests in the NFL and how we should be viewing that. It's probably does not do anyone's cause much good to disrespect the flag. There's many other ways to do it. We're going to talk to him about that as well. On this day in 1916, the San Diego Zoo was founded. And we've got some friends in San Diego today, like General Manager Dick Whitworth and family. Maybe they're going to be at the zoo today. Today would be the day to go because it was on this day it was founded. I've been to that zoo. It's a fantastic zoo. And it is quite an impressive place. All right. When we are looking at the news this morning, our hearts instantly pour out to the people in the Las Vegas area who are going through what is going to be called possibly one of the biggest mass murders in America with a gun. Gentlemen opened fire on a concert crowd, and it looks like there's roughly 50 dead and over 200 wounded. So when I think of that, and I think of how vulnerable we are, it does not make me feel more vulnerable. It makes me feel actually stronger in Christ. It says in Psalm 139, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So all of my days have already been ordained for me. So I know that that is a fixed number. And when that happens and when that time is up, it is up. So I go out with strength in Christ, not fear that there's all this things to be nervous about or frightened about or fear. I just go out and think I have security in Christ and I know that my days are numbered. And they're all ordained for me before one was written. So when that time comes, it's I'm ready for it. So let's encourage each other today, despite all the bad news that we're hearing, that we can be bold in Christ and we can affirm each other and build each other up. So it's 6 minutes after the hour. I'm going to take a little break and then bring Dr. Linda Mental on the show. We'll be back in just a minute. Morning. It is our job to make it good, maybe even great. And here to help us with that, Dr. Linda Mental, host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Linda, good morning.
Good morning. Feels like a little bit of a tough morning in terms of the news.
It is. It's just so disturbing. I know you've got quite a history and background in talking about this subject. So let's, if I may, ask about your response to what happened in Las Vegas.
Well, of course, my very first response was just to begin to pray, probably like a lot of Americans, mm-hmm. for the family members of people that were killed and injured. You know, I was listening to one of the news reports coming into work this morning, and I was listening to a man who had witnessed all of this, and someone died right next to him, and just the fear and the anxiety that people are dealing with as a result of this. And, you know, I heard you just give your intro, Bill, about how we don't have to be afraid as people of Christ and that our days are numbered. I don't think that everybody, though, that was there has that same assurance. And so this may be a real opportunity for the church to really come alongside people and begin to talk to them about how do you deal with fear. And I know when my brother was blown up on a plane, that instant feeling of things feeling very out of control, even though I was a believer, there is an immediate fear reaction that at any moment your life is pretty much what Scripture says, a vapor. Mm-hmm. And while those of us who have the assurance that we will be with Christ when we die, it still is a very unsettling feeling. And of course, what we all have to work on then in the days to come is not to move in fear and not to walk with anxiety, thinking that at any moment something could happen.
Mm-hmm. Linda, what about if our mind, I was thinking earlier, when you have a lack of information about anything, why does your mind kind of fill in the blanks with negative information?
Well, it's the helplessness that we feel in those situations where we don't know what's going on. We don't know why this happened. It's so random that your mind just has to begin to search. It's like that fight or flight response that the brain has of something is very wrong here, and I either need to flee from it or fight against it. And the brain and the body just goes into that automatic state. And so you are on high alert trying to survive something that you don't even know what you're trying to survive in those cases. And again, just listening to the reports of people who were there, it was a very frightening event. They didn't know where the shooter was coming from. They didn't know, you know, typically law enforcement tells you, get low, get on the ground, you know, try not to move. But this person was coming from an elevated position. And so now what do you do? You don't, there is no place to get low because he was shooting from on high. So it had to be very disorienting for the people there. And what we know to do in that situation just wasn't the same as what people have done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the reports are just so, they're very difficult to hear and to watch. And you know, as this concert is concluding with its final song, and concert goers are hearing what they think might be confetti cannons going off, or are these fireworks, but I don't see any lights in the sky. I mean, the whole situation is, it just created so much panic, and it must be a horribly scary situation to be in. And of course, I've never been in anything like that. But you would say that in a moment like this, the fight or flight just kicks in, and everybody just starts to have that sense of panic, and am I going to lose my life? And I mean, that's a horribly scary situation.
It is. And so the real key will be for people who survive that. Obviously, the families that have to bury loved ones will be in deep grief. Mm-hmm. And the people that survived it will have to fight against a type of acute stress reaction from that, because that's what happens after these, whether it's an earthquake, a hurricane, a fire, some kind of trauma. And this was definitely would be in that category of trauma, the trauma and stress reaction that people will have as a witness of this and being in the place. And even some people watching this on TV, it's going to trigger some trauma response in people. So the key will be going forward is to not allow that stress to turn into a post-traumatic stress reaction where you want to talk to somebody, you want to get some help, you want to try to process what happened and deal with this event. And the church, again, Bill, this is a great opportunity for the church to come and just pray with people and pray with families so that we don't allow fear to grip our heart. And one of the things that, you know, we tell people after something like this is, I guess this would be considered domestic terrorism. I don't know what they're going to actually call it. But what you don't want to do is allow the person who does something like this, and I realize he's dead, but you don't want this event to let fear grip you in such a way that it paralyzes you and it puts you into an anxious state for the future. So the very thing that people like this want to do is to make you feel fearful and hopeless and helpless in those situations. And so again, we can call on a very strong God who's powerful, who can help us with our fears and not walk in that spirit of fear, but trust the Lord and call on his name. And he is a help in the time of stress. That's what the scripture says. He's our help in the time of trouble. So let the church pray today for all the people that lost people, and let the church also pray for those who are going to struggle in the next few weeks trying to get back to a sort of new normal for them and not let anxiety grip their heart.
Mm-hmm. Linda, when you talk about anxiety gripping people's hearts, now I would assume this is a pain that they will have to in some way manage the rest of their life, because it's now part of their permanent record. I was in this horribly scary situation, and it's going to be with them forever?
Well, it will be a part of their story,
yes.
Obviously, yeah, as they go forward. But here's the thing about anxiety. A lot of times anxiety is born in people's history when there is an out-of-control event. So when you do the social histories and the family histories of people who struggle with anxiety, you begin to see that there was an event or a series of events. It could be abuse in a family or mental illness or alcoholism or a trauma like what we're talking about. And what happens is that kind of feeling of a loss of control, a loss of any kind of, you feel very powerless that is the kind of thing that breeds anxiety if we don't deal with that reaction. And in reality, we don't have control. Like you said, our days are ordered, they're numbered. We don't have control over these awful things that happen. And so we have to have some kind of way of thinking about that and dealing with that so that we don't allow that loss of control to continue to grip us. This is one of the things I had to struggle with when my brother was so randomly killed. You struggle with this. Anything could happen to me at any time, at any day, which is what makes you feel anxious. And then you may start to live your life trying to control things because you feel so out of control. And you really have to work through that process and release that out of control feeling to the Lord and allow the Lord to heal that part of you and know that He does have your life in His hands and it is all ordered by Him.
Mm-hmm. Linda, let me take a little break. If you have a question for Dr. Linda Mintel, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll take a short break and be back more with Dr. Linda Mintel. Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Speaking to Dr. Linda Mintel, host of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Linda, you said something right before we went to break. It's been haunting me. You used these four words, out of control event. Now, I know that probably applies to just about everybody, or they can assign something to call it an out of control event. And that doesn't necessarily give you an excuse to be full of anxiety, does it?
Well, it's one of the ways that anxiety will take a grip on people. And that's, I guess, the point that maybe we should make, Bill, is that when you experience something that's out of control, the way you respond to that is very important. It can either breed a fear response in you where you start to feel like there's never anything I can do. My life is random. Things are going to happen. And you develop a what if. So the what if is what characterizes anxiety. If it's like, well, what if something bad does happen again? Well, what if I'm somewhere and I can't get out? Well, what if I'm, you know, and you just, the what if is the mental part of anxiety. That's the worry that people begin then to develop. And a lot of times what happens is something like this can begin to breed and then it can generalize to other parts of our life where we say, well, what if? And this is one of the characteristics of people that develop what we call generalized anxiety disorder, where they're constantly worried, they're constantly thinking that bad things could happen, and they develop this sort of vigilance, and they try to control a lot of things so that nothing bad does happen. And it's a really horrible place to be because you're constantly being paralyzed by fear and gripped with anxiety, and you're not living in the freedom that Christ can give us, even in the middle of these horrible and difficult things that happen.
Get out of my head, Linda. Knock it off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we just have to put anxiety in its place. You know, when Jesus speaks so specifically about don't worry about tomorrow, He's telling us that, you know, bad things are going to happen in this world. There are going to be difficulties as we progress, but keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and trust in Him in all things. And, you know, He's going to be with us through whatever difficulty. That's the promise. We're not alone. He goes with us. He moves with us. If I didn't have the Lord in my life, I don't know what I would have done at the point that I lost my brother. It was my relationship with Jesus that really provided the support and the knowing that God, okay, I don't understand this. I'll never have an answer for why, because everything felt so random. But I do know that I have to trust you, otherwise my option is to live in fear, which I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Linda, tell me if you've heard this many times before from people you've talked to or counseled, where you sort of awfulize a situation where you'll take a scenario that could happen in the future or not, but you create a scenario in the future of something that could go wrong and you insert it into your head today as if it's already happened and it almost paralyzes you or shuts you down.
Well, that's what happens with worry. So that's exactly what people do, is we tend to think future. So again, anxiety and worry, and all worry is the mental part of anxiety. What we tend to do is we tend to put that future scenario in there, and then we focus on it, and we develop it in our head, and then we try to develop a defense against it. And this is why it's so anxiety provoking, because when you put those negative images in your head and you continue to focus on that, it's going to breed anxiety. So again, this is where the Bible is very clear about taking your thoughts captive and taking those thoughts, not, you know, deny the reality of what's happening around you, but say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. This is an awful, horrible event, but I'm going to put my trust and focus on you. And Lord, I'm going to think of you and who you are, and that you are with me in my life. You are going to help me walk through whatever difficulty I have to face, and I'm going to put my trust in you. That is grabbing those negative thoughts, taking them captive, and then putting the truth of God's word in those, in that place, so that you can think on the positives of God's love for you, his care for you, his presence in your life, and his directing of your path.
Linda, I would think that that would take some discipline. This is not the natural instinct.
No, and that's why the scripture says you take your thoughts captive. It doesn't say God is going to put a magic wand over you and, you know, hit you in the head and say, now you're going to think right. We have to intentionally put on the mind of Christ. We have to intentionally renew our minds with the mind of Christ. That's why the Bible says daily, renew your mind and begin to focus on who he is. And unfortunately, Bill, what happens in these mass shootings, I mean, it's a good thing. We tend to turn to the Lord. We tend to turn to prayer. We see the best of people come out where we do get in unity. And I know you're going to have a segment talking about the disunity that we're experiencing in our country. The problem is that once these events pass, we tend to go back to all the discontent and the disunity, and we forget about God in our culture. And so every single time we have something horrible like this happens, it reminds me that God is to be front and center in everything we do, because life is so short and we have no guarantees for tomorrow. And if America could just remember that we need to put our trust and our faith in God and call on his name, and would continue that long after a negative event has happened, I mean, that would be the best outcome of something like this.
Mm-hmm. I know this cliche is used all the time, and that is, we live in a fallen world, and we say that all the time.
And right, but that, it's not true.
It is true, but there is, we should take more energy putting and speaking the truth of what God promises in our lives, and not worrying about tomorrow, but trusting God for today, versus complaining about all the things that are wrong in the world.
Well, it gives you perspective, doesn't it? When you're suddenly dealing with the fact that people's lives at a country music concert.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you go to a concert, you never expect that you're going to end up dead, and no one expects that someone's going to die that night. So it does put in perspective the things of eternal value. And that's the scary part of our culture. We've lost the focus on what is external, as what is eternal, and we're dealing with all these things that are really of very little consequence in our lives. We need to get back to the love of God, developing a unity in Christ in our culture, and putting an emphasis on prayer again for our nation. It's just so important.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, Linda, I've been trying to do lately, I've been trying to make more of a habit out of just making small talk with people.
Mm.
And I think that it actually just makes the world a little bit friendlier. There are so many different places you can just start small talk. And it doesn't have to last long, and it doesn't have to be intrusive, but just connecting to people.
And I think showing a little kindness, just being kind to people and open to people and support. There's so much right now in the research about isolation and loneliness that people feel, disconnected that people feel. And when a lot of times we look at these mass murderers, we see this sense of isolation and discontent and grandiosity and trying to be known. And
yeah.
You know, you think this is what the Lord wants people to know, is that we are not only connected to God, but then our connection with God should result in us reaching out to the people around us and being the feet and the hands of Christ, as we talk about so often. But that can happen just with a kind word during the day and starting off with a prayer for people.
Yeah. Linda, once again, you calm our jagged nerves. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Talk to you again soon. It is 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of the Early Morning Late Show in just a minute.